Podcast. I am John Calloway. Clayton Hunt is unable to join us today, but he'll be back next time. With us on the show today is Nancy Gaines. Nancy is a productivity expert, focusing on helping successful businesses scale and automate. She's a best-selling author and international speaker, as well as a global podcast host. Her podcast has just hit over 70 countries. Welcome, Nancy.
Hey, John. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, really, really excited to have you on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started?
Sure, absolutely. So my core background, I've been with IBM and Ernst & Young implementing SAP projects for about 16 years before I left a few years ago to start my own company. But I loved my job with IBM and developing things. What I found, though, as a developer, it was always kind of chaotic between getting the requirements nailed down, building it out, testing it, and getting sign-off. So I'm sure people on your show can relate to that, right, John?
Right, right.
Developers are always like, just tell me what to do and I will build it. And the business is always like, can you add this? I don't know. That's not exactly what I was thinking. So there's a lot of back and forth. So today I help people be more productive, both in their careers and as business owners.
Now, you and I met briefly in Arkansas at Little Rock Tech Fest last year, I believe, where we were both presenters. At that time, you were presenting on a subject, From Mess to Success. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's one of my signature talks to help people put a little bit more organization into their day. Since then, I've fine-tuned the talk a little bit, and there's basically three things that people need to do to make their day more productive, to basically maximize their day so they can get out of there at a reasonable time. The first point is HABU, H-A-B-U, and that stands for highest and best use of your time. So looking back in my IBM days, I probably should have outsourced somebody to make my travel reservations and to set up my appointments, and I didn't have a secretary at the time, but I totally would have paid a virtual assistant to take care of some of that stuff so I could spend my hours at the highest and best use of my time. The second thing I tell people is to systemize. And this just means using templates and checklists wherever you can so you get a repeatable result. For example, if you're sending the same email out about approving requirements or testing or bugs or whatever it is, make a template that you could just cut and paste into different emails and get that sent out to save you some time. There's lots of other systems, but that's an easy one that people do, as well as managing email. And then the third thing, which is super important, and if this is the only one thing people take away from our talk today, John, is use your power hour effectively. This is a time of the day where you are just in the zone and writing code is just, you're just cruising through that, or whatever it is you're doing, it's effortless because that is the time of day where you're just at your best energy. Too many people just whittle that away and waste it on checking email or going on Facebook or really unproductive times when if you just channel that energy into what you really need to focus on, you'll just cruise through that activity.
I actually attended your session and some of the notes that I wrote down for myself were work on important things, work until it's done, and finish more things.
You have very good notes. That is true. Finishing makes people a lot happier. People get stressed out when they've got a lot of things started and not a lot of things finished, and it's just overwhelming. So yes, I always like to say done is better than none. It's better to have one thing done than nine things started and never finished. So work on important things is kind of highest and best use of your time. And how I talk about that one now these days is figure out what your hourly rate is. And this is a six-figure show, so let's just assume people make $50 an hour because they make $100,000. Anything $50 and higher, the developer should be doing. Anything $49 and less, somebody else should do. And that could be cutting your grass, cleaning your house, picking up your laundry, anything, painting. I just hired someone to paint my bathroom at my house. As much as I would love to do it because it brings out my creative side, I know it's going to take me a really long time to tape and edge and corner. So yeah, if it's less than $50, pay someone else to do it. And then the third thing is, yes, keep working on something till it's done. Get it done and off your list so you can move on to something else with 100% focus.
There was a story maybe a year or two ago about a gentleman that had actually outsourced all of his development efforts on the job. Maybe not to that degree, but certainly of the tasks that can easily be outsourced, like you said, cutting grass and things like that.
It totally makes sense. I remember, you know, I was a well-paid senior consultant with IBM, and I was thinking, looking back now that I'm smarter, thought, why would I walk around and manage the project plan and ask people if something was done or not? I probably should have hired an intern to do that. That was just not the highest and best use of my time. Totally would have outsourced it if I looked back today.
Clayton is a big proponent for time boxing and using the Pomodoro technique. He's been really successful with making sure that he's as productive as possible, that he is putting off email communications to specified times so that he's not interrupted. Would you also advise people to use things like the Pomodoro technique, or do you have other tips and tricks, techniques for people maximizing their productive hours?
Absolutely. So I do something called the 50-10, meaning I focus on a task for 50 minutes, 5-0, and then I take a mandatory 10-minute break. Even if I'm in the zone, I get up, I get a glass of water, do a quick walk around the block, whatever it is for 10 minutes so that I come back. And your brain, I have no proof on this, but I read this, your brain actually needs a break. So if you give it that 10-minute break, when you come back at the top of the hour, ready to do another 50-10 sprint, it'll make all the difference in the world. The other method that I like is called the 3-3-3 method. So never have more than 9 items on your to-do list every day. And of those 9, 3 of them you could probably delete. They're not even that important. Just take them off the list. 3 of them you should delegate to somebody else. And again, whatever your magic number is if it's $50 per hour, delegate the things that can be done for less than $50. And then 3 of them you're actually going to do, because those are really the important ones that you should be focused on.
So going back to making your move from larger companies to starting your own business, what was the catalyst for making such a drastic change in your professional career?
That's kind of a funny story. So I was just under 50 years old, and I was starting to take some personal development classes, kind of like Tony Robbins, except it wasn't Tony Robbins. And I was at this multi-day, multi-speaker event, listening to people talk, one after another. And one guy got up there, and he started talking about how we're complacent, and you know, we've got good jobs, but we're just floating through life. And I thought, you know, he's kind of right. This is an easy job. I could do this in my sleep. I've been doing it forever. So I pulled out my laptop right on that spot, and I wrote my resignation letter. I said, I'm ready for something bigger. I'm just going to quit. Well, my husband was not at the seminar yet. He was actually flying in that evening. So I knew I needed to tell him at some point to make sure it was okay. Went to the airport. Before he even had a suitcase in the rental car, I just burst out, I quit my job today. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And inside, I was hoping that he would talk me out of it. Like, entrepreneurs, that's really hard. And you got a great job and this is easy. Why don't you just stick with it? But instead, he gives me this big hug and says, you got this, sweetie. Good for you. So now it's committed. Now I'm like, shoot, I actually have to follow through with what I just said I'm going to do. So that's how it happened. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur is you have to be your boss and the employee. So in the work world, somebody comes up and most of the tasks are already defined for you. Usually you get to figure out how to get them done, but there's an overall plan usually that somebody gives to you on what you need to get done. As an entrepreneur, every day you wake up and you have to say, what should I be working on today? What do I need to get done? And you can't just blow it off because you could blow it off, but then you're not going to make any money and no one's going to yell at you. So that shift between being an employee and being a boss is huge in the entrepreneur world. So that's how it came about. And I'll tell you, very important skill of being an entrepreneur is you need to have a brand and you need to have sales skills, because I'm sure this is how it is in your job, John, is people know you and you're the go-to guy for something specific. When something needs to get done, they're like, John's the guy, and people come to you. When I became an entrepreneur, I no longer had that like status or credibility. I was starting from square one, and people might have known me in the IBM world and the SAP world, but now all of a sudden, regular everyday people, I needed to build myself up, build a brand. And I learned that sales is one of the most critical skills you can sell, because you're not just selling, you know, IBM software anymore. I was selling me. So definitely, you need to be motivated, have sales skills, and brand yourself in a whole different phase of your life. For those of you that are developers, you definitely have to drive your own career, almost like you have to drive your own business. You need to constantly be showing up and volunteering for assignments and getting known so that people will come to you when there's bigger and better projects. A lot of times people get complacent again, and I admit I was probably kind of complacent with my consulting job, but you got to go out there. And one of the best ways to do that is to speak at conferences. I know a lot of developers may consider themselves introverts, but it's amazing the doors that will open for you when you start speaking in front of groups and sharing your knowledge and helping somebody. And I'll tell you, I still get scared every time I go on stage because, one, I want to make sure I deliver value for people that are listening to me. And two, it's just scary. If I wasn't scared, I would probably not do as good a job. So yes, developers have to drive their own career, and speaking is huge for that.
I actually began speaking only two and a half years ago. And a lot of that was thanks to Clayton pushing me in that direction. Listening to podcasts and reading books from John Sonmez and Uncle Bob Martin and those kind of guys. Reading a lot of blog posts, and actually this week I saw a Twitter post from Corey House talking about how 2 years ago or many years ago he was the nervous guy at a conference and wouldn't speak with anyone. But these days we really have to be outgoing. Being the introvert that rarely sees the light of day really just isn't going to cut it as more companies become technology aware and have the need for developers.
And the coolest thing about tech conferences, so I speak at tech conferences based on my background with IBM, but also small business conferences where I help people scale their business. The best thing about tech conferences, actually there's two. One, they treat their speakers like gold. We get a speaker room, we get a speaker dinner, we get extra cool stuff in our goodie bag. They really promote us. I'm just blown away at how different it is, tech conferences versus a business conference. But the thing about tech conference, they want you to win. They are a very forgiving audience. Like I saw some people struggle with the AV equipment or, you know, forget their demo doesn't work or whatever. The audience is just so amazing. They're like all inside cheering for you to get through it when you're up there probably thinking, this really sucks that nothing's working and I'm scared already. Tech conferences are just very, very welcoming. It's a great place to start. Even a local meetup. Try speaking at just a meetup and get your feet wet and then start submitting. One tool that I love, John, is called PaperCall. Do you use PaperCall?
I have before, yes.
PaperCall. So PaperCall is an amazing place where all these different events are looking for speakers. So it's very easy to apply with your talk and see if you get selected. And the cool thing about this is it remembers your submission. So it's really easy to repeat something you've already submitted. The other place I like is lanyrd.com, lanyrd.com. This is also a bunch of conferences. I don't think the tool's as flexible as PaperCall, but it's a great way to apply to be a speaker. And you can even have your own speaker page. So if people, they can actually find you based on your speaker page versus you applying and, push versus pull.
Yeah, and I would absolutely second local meetups and user groups. We run a .NET meetup group in Florida here. Thankfully, we've not had a shortage of speakers. The community has been very accepting and people are willing to travel a couple of hours to come and speak and join us. A lot of user groups have things like lightning talks where you could spend 15 minutes speaking on a subject instead of trying to spend 60 minutes on a subject. If you've never spoken before, that's a great way to kind of dip your toe into the water to see if it's something that you'd be interested in.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I didn't think about that one either. I haven't done a lightning talk. I'm actually a little afraid because one of them a true lightning talk, I guess they advance the slides for you and they time you. And it sounded like it was kind of complicated. So I haven't applied for that. I've only been going for 30 minutes and higher.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd give up control of the slide advancement.
Yeah, that would be tricky. But speaking is a great way. Finding a mentor. You know, I mentor a lot of people in the business world that are just getting started, just to make sure they get started on the right track. But you could be a mentor. That's a great way to grow your career as well, because then people start coming to you and seeing you as the expert.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the services you offer and where you find success, both for you and for whoever you may be working with, whether that be individuals or smaller group settings or in larger company settings?
Sure. So for corporations, I come in and I train people on productivity. For example, how to really manage your email. So you're running your day instead of letting your email run your day. There's two reasons people constantly check emails. One, they don't know what to do. So they go to their email hoping there'll be something for them to do to keep them busy. Because, you know, most of the email is someone's asking us for something. They're not just reaching out to say hello. The other reason they go to their email so often is they're afraid they're going to miss something, whether it's from their boss or a sales opportunity or something. So people are constantly glued to their email, kind of like our smartphones. And I do talk on that, on how to get through that. For small businesses, what I do is I help them scale. So there's three different phases of a business. Startup, to knowing that you've got an idea that you're going to work. That's phase one. Phase two, you're finally making money. You're getting things done. And then phase three, you actually want to grow your company to sell it or maybe just take some passive income. My sweet spot is in that middle. So people who are already successful, but the thought of just taking on another client actually gets kind of stressful because they know something's going to break because they don't have systems in place. So we put systems in place around sales, marketing, team, money, and operations so their business runs smoothly.
Yeah, and I think you had said that you do a lot of helping businesses automate certain tasks. Is that just a way to help them scale better?
Absolutely. So automating, you can call it systems, processes, procedures, automation, scaling. All of that to me means the same things. How do you get things to run without you? So eventually you can step away from your company if you choose. Too many people become their business. It's almost like they're falling into the self-employment trap. They thought they started a business to have freedom and money and serve people, but instead they're working more and more and more hours. So yes, I work with them through all those different ways to take things off their plate so it runs without them. One of my favorite sayings is anything you do more than twice needs a system, you know, a repeatable way that it works every time. Anything you do more than three times should be automated so you can set it and forget it.
And do you find that people have trouble delegating certain tasks to other people?
Absolutely. That's actually one of my core talks that I talk about it. People need to decide what's more important to them, control or growth, because you can't have them both. At some point, owners just get so maxed out trying to control everything that they're impeding, they're blocking their own growth. So by delegating more things to other people, again, figure out what your magic number is, and anything less than that number should be delegated. You'll get more and more comfortable with it and truly love the freedom of being a business owner.
So what are the common themes that you see in dealing with your particular clients, in any of your coaching, any of your mentoring?
Well, around delegation, nobody can do it as good as I can. Well, honestly, they probably could do it better. I was just talking to somebody, one of my clients had a to-do list of about 30 things. She hasn't figured out the 3-3-3-9 list yet, but I'm working on that. And I said, why are you doing these things? These are not even worth your time. You've got to give this away. And she was afraid because she's had bad experience where she's delegated and people just didn't follow through. It's all in how you hire the right people. And hiring doesn't even have to be an employee. It could be somebody on Elance or Fiverr or a virtual assistant that you can just offload a few tasks a week. So that's a common problem. A lot of people struggle with, I ask people this question. If you had 1,000 new clients tomorrow, which would be a dream for a lot of people, 1,000 new clients tomorrow, what would stretch in your business and possibly break? Is it you wouldn't be able to onboard them quickly? Is it that you couldn't keep track of all your notes if you're a coach? Is it that you can't accept all that money and keep track of a payment program? Like, where is your business going to burst at the seams because you got more business? So those are some common challenges.
Right. And I could see how adding 1,000 new clients might be a challenge for people that are afraid to delegate or people that haven't thought about how they could scale and how they can remove themselves from the process.
Right. So I want to get there early and we plan for that. So if they do get 1,000 clients tomorrow, they're, you know, running around with champagne, all excited about it, not sweating it. How are we going to actually do this? A lot of times people, you see this too, if people have a great sales team, but very poor delivery back end processes, meaning the sales team is out there selling and selling and selling, but nobody can actually deliver, or you promise a date and you fall behind on it. Or the opposite, maybe your operations are really smooth, but nobody's selling. So you've got idle capacity waiting for your sales team. So you got to balance all those systems, again, sales, marketing, team, money, and operations, in order to scale and really grow.
And thankfully, it doesn't seem like sales teams are selling vaporware anymore these days, or at least I haven't. I haven't had the experience recently. So,
yeah, it's not anymore. But think about this from your career too. When somebody moves from being an outstanding developer to being a supervisor or manager, that's a whole different set of skill sets. So what they did as a developer is not going to get them to the next level as a manager. They're going to have to delegate. They got to come up with systems for tracking their team, for training their team, for measuring their team. And if they keep getting stuck in hands-on helping people develop all the time, something's going to break as well.
I've been a senior developer most recently, and I've been team lead and lead developer on a number of different projects. And that's always kind of been at the back of my mind. And that seems to be the question that most people ask is, well, what's next for you? Is it moving into management? And there's a quote that came out around the time of Steve Jobs' death that the reason that Apple was so successful is that they rewarded people in the positions in which they were good at. So they didn't take an outstanding developer and promote them into management if they didn't have management skills.
I love that quote. So one thing I teach in some of my talks is I never liked getting employee reviews or giving them, because it would say, the format would say, you're really good at A, B, C. You need improvement on D, E, F. Are you familiar with that format, John?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now that I'm older and I have my own business, I'm looking back and thinking, that's really a poor process. Why don't we just let people focus on what their superpower is? Because they're going to get it done faster. They're going to be happy with it. It's going to be effortless for them. Why are we trying to make people well-rounded? Like, I would never take my web developer and say, okay, now I want you to be my salesperson too. You're really good at my website. Can you start selling? Like, that doesn't even make sense. You would never take a pitcher and say, you're really good at pitching. Why don't you go catch for a while? No, you just stay as a pitcher, right?
Right, right.
So I don't know why corporate has to be any different. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and that's why I've really enjoyed that agile methodologies are gaining more traction and becoming the norm. Scrum teams and self-organizing teams that are able to say, you know, Johnny, you're good at this. Susie, you're good at that. These are our tasks. These are our goals for this sprint. Do the things that you are good at. Ask for help. Maybe we'll team up on this and knock it out. But everyone kind of knows their role and knows their place on a team.
And they're probably happier team members too, right? Because you're not making them do something they're uncomfortable with or they just dislike.
Right. And a well-performing team that delivers X number of stories sprint after sprint is really rewarding seeing them continue to succeed. And then it's also interesting to see when they fail, if they miss their estimates or they fail to deliver one story out of 20. The teams typically take that to heart and they're going to review that process and make sure that they're more accurate and that they're able to commit accurately and deliver in a timely manner.
That's great. That's really good. I didn't know that Apple had that philosophy, but I like that.
So what other exciting things do you have upcoming?
Well, I'm super excited to speak in a couple of weeks at that conference. That's in Wisconsin Dells. I don't know if you know Clark Sell, but he does an amazing job gathering this conference. And it's a mixture of training and fun. We actually have a pig roast and game night and One night they close the entire water park so everyone can go play. So that's cool. I just got selected to speak at Quicken Loans Technology Conference in Detroit. So that'll be kind of cool. And business-wise, I've got a couple conferences speaking up. Speaking in August. I really am a big believer in speaking. So people that are listening, if you're kind of on the fence, just know that you have a skill and it's almost like your obligation to share that with other people so they can benefit it. It's not about you being the star on stage. It's about all the people in the audience that you're helping with the one skill, your superpower that somebody else needs to learn. It may come, you might not even know you have a superpower, but to other people, because it's so effortless, but to other people, they're like, wow, that's really helpful. So that's what I would say. People should definitely speak.
If you had it to do all over again, would you change anything throughout your career? Would you have made the move to become an entrepreneur earlier? What might you do differently?
If I had a mulligan, if I had a do-over, looking back, I wish I would have had my messaging, what exactly I do, really locked down sooner. And I think this is just part of being an entrepreneur. You start out thinking you're going to do one thing and it shifts along the way. And I just wish it would have gone a lot faster. It took me a good 2 years to get my feet really on solid ground, even though I was a rock star with IBM. So just keep in mind, if you're going to switch careers at some point, and you may, just don't underestimate how long it may take to really get some momentum. Those 10-year overnight successes, or what is it, 1 year overnight success, are really like 10 years in the making.
Right, right. So it's kind of the iceberg scenario. So you may see what looks like little effort above the water to become a success, but it's everything beneath the water that you don't get to see.
Yep, kind of like a duck. We always say the duck's floating very calmly on the top, but underneath their feet are scrambling really fast. So yeah, I wish being a productivity expert, I would have gone a lot faster, but it's just every step got me closer to where I want to be. And by the way, for those of you that are small business owners, I have a free report on my website, nancygaines.com/top5. It's the top five systems that you need in your business so that you've got more productivity and repeatable success. So nancygaines.com/top5. And even if you're not, maybe give that to somebody in your family who's an entrepreneur.
So do you have any other tips and tricks or words of wisdom or advice to those looking to further their career, maybe start a career, maybe specifically as a software developer transitioning to an entrepreneur?
Yeah, and all of this will be, I've got a great quote. I don't know who said it, but I love it. And it works whether you're an entrepreneur or in a career going to the next level. The quote is, "Doubt will take you out of action. Action will take you out of doubt." So just standing still doesn't help anyone. If you start doubting something, just go ahead and take a step toward whatever it is that you want, and the rest of the stuff will just fall in place. But if you just stand there and you doubt everything, you will never move. So doubt will take you out of action. Action will take you out of doubt.
Do you have any books coming out? Any writings available that we might want to take a look at?
That's a great question. I actually do have a book that's coming out. It was done over a year ago, and I've been kind of sitting on it, even though the publisher's like, let's get this thing to print. And I realized it needed a foreword and it needs some endorsements on the back. And I was just being shy about asking people to do that. So I put on my big girl pants and sent an email to Jeff Hoffman. He is the founder of Priceline. Have you heard of Priceline?
Yeah.
So I've met him a few times at conferences. Don't know him too well, but he's doing amazing stuff. So I got the nerve and I said, Jeff, I would be honored if you would write the foreword of my book. And within 15 minutes, he wrote right back and said, I'm in. Let's do this. So that's pretty exciting. I'm super excited about that book coming out. So I'm thinking later this year, or early January. And it's all about entrepreneurship to help you fast track your success through all my lessons I learned.
All right. Thanks so much. That was Nancy Gaines. Nancy is a productivity expert focusing on helping successful business scale and automate. She's a best-selling author and international speaker, as well as a global podcast host. Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks for having me on the show.
This has been the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.